Welcome to the King's Road Podcast. I am your host, the Aries Justin Yance, and I'm here with
City Sant. What's up?
Nothing much, man. All right, and we are talking Sting 1997. You saw the first episode. We really enjoy talking about Sting, and it's a lot of fun. So we're going to keep going that way. And we're talking, now we're really into 1997, which to me is Sting's year. So here we go. We're talking 1/13/97. Hacksaw comes out and he starts talking about a stupid flag. And he starts saying, Sting, you know, you got to come out there, you know, that Sting. As soon as he sets foot in the ring, Sting comes out behind him and just drops him. I love that.
I wish there was a way so that when that segment happened, they literally could have just cut to the very end of it where Sting just drops him. Like, here's the thing. You got to remember, if I see Hacksaw Jim Duggan, that to me, that's code word, right? That's code word for time to change the channel.
It's code word.
That's code word to let's see what Raw's doing. You know, like I don't want to be that guy, but that's the truth. I mean, maybe not at this point, because by 96, Raw still kind of sucks. But like,
I mean, because right here, Raw still sucks. Nitro, you know, whoever at this point called out Sting, they got laid out. So as soon as he says Sting, but you bring up a good point. As soon as you see Hacksaw Jim Duggan, it's almost like turn the channel. You're not going to listen to what he has to say. So you'd miss it. But, you know, as soon as he says Sting, you know Sting's coming out. And I love he just lays him out.
You know, this is what's key for a babyface. You know what I love about, like, this, watching this shit? And Sting's character was so transcending. So many things that were done that were never done before. And for the most part, outside of the Owen Hart incident, haven't been done after. You know? But this is one classic thing. If you called out Sting anyway, it didn't matter if you had one person, two, three, four, five. Shit, man, they had like 10, 11, 12 people in the ring. They all were getting their ass whooped by Sting. It did not matter.
He was like Candyman. And today,
you have a babyface in any situation outside of one-on-one, if it's not Brock Lesnar, they're getting their ass whooped and making it. And are gonna be made to look like an idiot. And here's another key thing. They always made Sting to look smarter than the NWO. And back then, the NWO's gimmick was always they constantly outsmarted the babyfaces all the time.
Well, that's something that's really interesting about this time. Like, people talk about how the NWO runs roughshod, but they actually gave you things to like look forward to. It wasn't just like it was WWE that the NWO would just kill everybody. There would be no hope, and you would just be sitting there watching them murder everybody. Here they gave you hope.
Here's the problem, though. That is the risk you run with these kind of angles with that much main event talent on the heel side. And You know how the WWE side was. It's like, oh, so these NWO guys just bury the whole roster. And there is truth to that. But, like, the point is they ended up taking that philosophy quite literally and doing it even more drastic than the NWO did in WCW.
Yeah.
I mean,
shit. And they needed to get over. If you just all right, so say they come in and they just get killed by the locker room, like what WWE wants them to do, who would care? Who would care?
But you know what's important? Like the spots where the NWO is calling out Sting, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, Sting, come down here. Sting, oh, you're scared? You don't want to come? He don't show up. Like, I remember that episode when he didn't show up on Nitro. And it was like, Sting didn't show up on Nitro? Man, what's the point of watching Nitro? Because even though the NWO was so great, it got to the point where, like, Sting, like that Sting shirt was hot. Sting was
great. Everybody wanted that Scorpion shirt.
There's that like that promo segment, right? Where they're showing like the Sting shirt. Buy the Sting shirt now, and you too could be a part of the biggest mystery in professional wrestling. And that's and exactly everybody what
wanted
it was.
Everybody
it was
wanted
the
that
biggest
shirt.
Mystery in wrestling. You didn't know what Sting thought. You didn't know what he wanted. There was times you thought he was a part of the NWO. You sometimes thought he turned on WCW. It was a roller coaster in a great non-swervy way, you know, which is hard to do if you think about it. Like, there's a lot of twists and turns, but it never really felt like a swerve for swerve's sake.
No, it wasn't like, as I said, like WWE would do, where they would just, you know, oh, he gets killed, and oh, that's but, it sucks.
But here's the thing, right? They call him out, he don't show up.
Yeah,
he shows up out of nowhere. People are like looking up, and then he comes down. You're looking down, then he comes up. You know, so, and what I love about that is, like, I miss when the baby faces were smart. Austin always outsmarted Vince McMahon. Sting always outsmarted the NW. This is how it should be.
Because
baby
why would you like them?
Look stupid.
Yeah, why would you care about them if they're stupid?
Yeah.
So dumb.
Like, am I supposed to have sympathy for a Bianca Belair who looks like an imbecile when she got her ass whooped by Becky Lynch in like 40 signs? Like, that's not endearing. You know what I mean?
And also
that's not endearing.
Also, all right, well, all right, say she gets her ass whooped, then the next night she needs to be like coming out roaring and not even wait for her entrance music, just grab the mic and be like, get out here. That's the only way you redeem that. Like, I could have forgiven her.
I'm sorry,
but
for like the level of star that I thought she was at and is supposed to be at, I don't care what you tell me, you should never lose that fast. Like, with the only exception was Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. And that's because it's Goldberg, and because he really can't do a fucking match. So you need to do it fast. It's not really because that's what you want to do. Even though, like, that's the one occasion that it works. But Bianca isn't so solidified. If anything, you can do that to Becky. Even though I would not do that to Becky either. But you do it to, like, a Charlotte. A star that's so solidified that it doesn't matter if you get killed.
Yeah.
You're not going to drop down. Like, guys like Orton, Charlotte, people of that level, they don't need to worry. Don't do that shit with the up-and-coming talent. That shit's stupid.
But this is what they do. They do this all the time. And that's why nobody's over. Because they've sacrificed them to all these, you know, other guys. Look at what they did to Bray Wyatt. Oh, well, now we want, you know, Goldberg to, you know, be the champion. So he's just going to kill Bray Wyatt. So why'd you do the Fiend then?
I told you this from the start. The second they put him in the feud with Seth Rollins, the second he was going to be in the title picture, I thought something was going to happen. That's the one good thing about Undertaker that lasted so long. He rarely was in the title program. Because when you're in the title program, then you're more liable to get in this bizarro Vince McMahon thought process of what gets over. And you know, like, when you win the title, now you can lose. I never understood that. That shit don't make no sense. The second, and then you made Seth Rollins cry, so you killed Seth. You know, like, he's never been the same after that. His woman seems more like an alpha male than he is. You know, like,
really,
you cried,
true.
Bro. That's it.
I know,
that's it.
Lame.
You cried.
He's Ja Rule.
You don't cry.
He's
Stone
Ja
Cold
Rule.
Doesn't cry. Have you ever seen Brock Lesnar cry?
Actually, we have.
When?
He did. That was back in 2004. Remember, he came out.
Oh, when he's like, Vince, please give me Goldberg. Oh, no. Yeah, whatever.
Like, he had
I try to forget that because that was terrible. But to me, that was just Vince wanting to bury Brock on the way out.
I know. Well, he hadn't even left yet. It wasn't even announced. That was probably the thing. He's like, you want me to do what? Okay. All right. So let's move on. So the next thing that happens, we're on 120, 1997. We're in Chicago. Macho Man's in the ring. He's, you know, holding up the show. And then Sting. Okay. All right. So now we're in Chicago. This is 1/20/1997. Macho Man's in the ring and he's like, you know, holding up the show. And then Sting drops down. So the first time Sting ever used the, you know, came down from the rafters and he comes down by the announcer's set. He hadn't even figured it out yet because he kind of went in a circle a little bit. Sting actually tells a story about that. Like, when he first was rappelling down, they were like, okay, you got to do this. Otherwise, you're going to, you know, turn in circles and look like an idiot. So, I mean, he turned a little bit, but, you know, so this, can you imagine if he just came down and he was just like, I can't land.
And that's another thing. Like, so you notice the evolution of him coming down. It got constantly better.
Yes.
Like, he felt more comfortable with it. Like,
dude, he was like Batman. He came down like, yes, Batman.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he was like Michael Keaton's Batman. Like, he's, yeah, coming down. He's pointing the bat. Like, the thing is, like, you know, and Hogan's like, where did he get those toys?
You know, like, I just love, like, the little mannerisms he does. Like, you remember when he took the bat off of, what was it, Rick Steiner or something? Like, yeah, effortlessly. And then in the segments where, like, he's passing out entire WCW roster, and, yeah, then so he's walking in the ring and yeah,
like, it's great. Yeah, he would just throw the bats to,
and so then you have the NWO like getting closer thinking, oh, he don't got a bat, and then he pops up another one and the, yeah, crowd pops and goes crazy, like, so
we're gonna get to that, but all right,
I can't help it. And
Sting, no, I know, it's, everything's good in the hair. This is what's good about talking about Sting in 1997. There's no bad right now.
and you know what? This is a very important point that I think we've spoken about historically a lot on our show.
Yeah.
Here's what people need to understand about this era. WCW is soundly whooping their ass.
And they, but here, with reason. I mean, they were better.
Yeah, but sons. Here's the thing. This is the only way you do it. Okay, it's what I was saying. AEW can just be a little better than WWE. When you're coming up and you're trying to take over the incumbent, you, yeah, have to be so much better. You like, it has to be like, WCW was soundly, I would say, what, five times better than WWE up,
yeah, at this point? They, like, at this point, you know, their main event was really great. Their undercard was great. Their mid-card was great. Everything they were doing was really,
I mean,
good.
Their WCW main event matches sucked, but, like, the build was great.
But you cared about the match.
Yeah, yeah, and the build was strong, and the match quality in the lower card was great.
Yeah.
You know, and
WWE had everything.
WWF, even in 96, the main event wasn't always great, but you had a better chance of having a great WWF main event than a great WCW main event. But WCW had way more heat in their matches. Yeah. Way
and
more.
And then heat. In WWE, yeah, you got a great main event, but you had a bunch of shitty matches on the undercard, and then you had a shitty buildup.
You know, and honestly,
they
hadn't figured
out the buildup yet.
Here's the thing. You can have the great main event and have the rest not be that great. But that, yeah, main event better be a hell of a fucking main event.
And, but they weren't,
and they
at
just
that
didn't
point,
have,
yeah,
that.
It wasn't until really Austin where, like, the, yeah, main event was so good that it's like, who cares what they're doing down there?
Yeah.
So anyway, so Sting comes out and he comes down for the first time with the rafters. We're in Chicago, Illinois. I mean, Chicago, they get all the great moments.
Fucking Chicago, man.
Ah, damn Chicago. And Sting, you know, he pulls out the bat, you know, from like the, I like that he had that like because he had to rappel down, he's got all that gear on and stuff. I don't know. It just gave him he didn't, like we said last week, he doesn't feel like a wrestler at this point. He feels like this entity that just, well, you see, don't know what he's doing.
This is why the Sting character is so great. And why I say that, like, let's be honest, like, and maybe it is because we're wrestling fans, but I'm going to say, to me, Sting is more significant in wrestling for this character than the Crow is in cinema. Absolutely. You know, because there's a lot of movies that have come out like a Crow, but there was nothing like Sting. I mean, there really is nothing. Like, every trope of a babyface wrestler does not even apply to Sting. But what was great is because we knew who Sting was, who was that stereotypical 80s babyface, and it's just such a drastic turn. Everything. Nobody flew from the fucking air. Nobody came from the fucking ring. Nobody brought bats all the time and never talked.
It was like, you know, when he was betrayed at Fall Brawl, that was his the parents getting killed moment for him, and he became Batman.
See, that conversation he had with that idiot Lex Luger, when he's like, "I don't believe you," that would probably be the moment where he's like stupidly, "I don't believe you." Even though you got me my job and you got me my gym, and I probably wouldn't be here without you, but you know, I don't believe you. Like, am I the only one who feels like WCW up to this point has constantly acted like a stupid heel? Like the stupid heel?
They have.
You know, like, even the little things we mentioned on the last show, like when Sting comes into the ring, nobody in the NWO is hitting him. It's all WCW guys. Like, they look like such assholes.
Yeah, and I think that was,
did Vince McMahon see this shit and say, this is how all my baby faces need to be? Complete assholes?
I think probably, nobody's ever asked him this, but I think probably Vince Russo was watching that and seeing what Sting was doing and noticing it. And I think he probably looked at that and said, we could do that with Austin. I mean, in some ways, he's a form of.
Let's be honest, though. It's not like that Survivor Series 96 promo didn't already happen. Like, if you told me what I thought of wrestling in the late 96 and 97, like, what colors do you think of? I think of black and white. And that doesn't just apply to the NWO. That applies to Sting and that applies to Stone Cold.
It was the rise of the anti-hero in wrestling. Know, we never
and,
really
and
had
it
that.
Was that black and white. That really is the ambience of wrestling at this point. Yeah. You know, like, it wasn't just NWO. It wasn't even just Austin. It was Sting. And it's like,
when Austin starts really getting over, you know, in September of 97, what is he doing? He just comes out and hits the stunner on people. That's what Sting was doing.
You know what I'll say, though?
I believe he's taken from that.
While the stunner was a way cooler finisher, the lead up to the Scorpion death drop
is great.
Was way better than the middle fingers. You know,
he pulled
your hair, looked at you, and sometimes spoke to you, and then robbed it. Because honestly, a reverse DDT is not impressive, but like the lead up to it, it really does so much.
Well,
like,
we talked like, about, you know, in WCW, NWO, that was my favorite thing. You would pull, you'd have the pull of the hair back and then drop them. And they had the awesome, we're going to get to that moment. All right. So Sting comes out and he confronts Macho Man and he pushes him with the bat and stuff. And, you know, and Macho, like, he's almost going to hit him with the chair and then he leaves with them. And they kind of become an alliance a little bit here.
Look,
now,
I hated this. I remember at the time hating this. I was like, man, is Macho Man doomed to always be the bitch in the relationship? Like, is he always doomed to be the bitch? Like, Because you got to realize, while Sting was a big star, Macho Man was a way bigger star than Sting ever was, okay. Right? Up to this point. And he's just looking like a little bitch in this whole thing. Like, I never saw Macho Man the same after this shit, to be honest. Like, he just looked like a bitch. And then after looking like a bitch with Sting, then the worst happened. He looked like a bitch next to Hogan. And as a fan that, like, really loved that the Mega Powers storyline, it's yeah. just, like, I was like, oh, my God, this is just disgusting. You know, like, it's just disgusting. Like, he's sucking Hogan's dick and shit. Like, oh, my God.
All right, fucking disgusting. So then the next week, Sting and Macho Man, they come out and they confront DDP. And they give him a bat and they do the turnaround thing. And then when DDP doesn't hit him, Macho Man looks at him, he just grabs the bat back.
Hold on.
It takes off. Then the next week, they just show up. Hogan's cutting a promo for the go-home show to Roddy Piper, and they just watch him. And that brings us to Super Brawl 7.
Here's a question for you. What did you think of all those segments where Sting would, like, point the bat at the wrestlers in the ring and then, like, push them with the bat? Because to me, I always felt like the other wrestler doesn't really want to sell it. So then Sting got to make him sell it a little more.
Yeah.
And, like,
he would put some oomph into it.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, like, but if you notice, he would put the oomph after you would try not selling it. Yeah. It's you don't want to sell it? Bitch.
It's like how Austin would be like in the ring. Remember, you know, Big Show is like, he's not giving me anything. And he's like, no, you got to grab it.
Nah, it's a little different because Sting works his way to that point. Austin comes in at 100. Like, he doesn't, like, he don't wait for you to not sell to then do it. Yeah. He does it from the jump. Like, that's the intensity. Like, that's something you don't teach.
But like, but I love, yeah, he would point the bat and he would push him like hard. Like you could feel that. Like, it's like it wasn't like a fake thing. Like the way they do it today, where you'd be like, oh, God, that was fake. So we're at Super Brawl 7. Macho Man and Sting come out. Macho Man comes out. What does he do? He aligns with Hogan. Although I like this because it sets up the thing, is Sting with the NWO, which is the whole idea of, I think, what they're trying to do with this.
And you know what?
You can hear the audience screaming for Sting.
I thought, oh man, Sting is gonna be in the NWO too. And look, I love the NWO, but the problem is, I saw Sting I saw him as way above WCW. Like, by himself, I thought he was over WCW by himself. The fact that he beat up the entire NWO by himself and the whole company can't beat the NWO. I mean, I already have no respect for WCW at this point, you know, and that's probably another reason why the company died, because nobody took them seriously.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. All right. So at Super Brawl, Hogan and Piper are wrestling and you can hear the whole crowd just chanting for Sting. Nobody cares about Piper.
And the fuckery of this match. Okay, you have Roddy Piper that doesn't want to lose to Hogan. He's like, oh, you want me to take a fall? Yeah, you better fucking go to sleep first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has anybody ever looked at Roddy Piper's tombstone? Does it say, Hogan never beat me, fuck you?
Probably. it'll say for Cornette, here lies the man who pissed on Russo's grave.
Because I don't think people understand. Like, I always had so much respect for Roddy Piper and his willingness to, like, leave WWE. Like, he didn't, he was never going to lose to Hulk. Like, it just, it was something like, nah, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Like, you want me to take that fall? Okay, but you got to go to sleep. Because he was like, you know what? I know you're fuckery, Hogan. You know, but you can't get your way out of being put to sleep. You can't say what, that I drugged you.
Okay. So now we're getting into Uncensored.
If nobody gets it, I really hate Hogan. And I always have. Yeah. I'm not like one of these guys that only started hating him because it started being cool. I hated that dude since I was a little kid.
So you were always an Ultimate Warrior guy.
Yeah.
You wanted the Gremlins and Gremlins 2 to kill him when he confronts them.
Here's the thing. I never liked yellow. You know, I never liked that color. I never liked his beard. I didn't like his hair. Because it's he looked like he's bald, and then he's not at the same time. It's like,
yeah, why didn't he? Yeah, why didn't he just cut his hair? I wanted to bring that up. Why didn't he just cut his hair? That skull cut.
Because he wanted to lie to himself.
But it's stupid. Looks dumb. He looks like Riff Raff from. He looks like Riff Raff from.
You don't want to. You like at least get hair club for men at the very least. Like if you want to lie to yourself, you know. For Hogan, they probably did.
You think? Man, maybe.
When you're that rich, you can find shit.
He looked like Riff Raff from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You know, like, not just me. Like, I don't know. To me, every guy, every wrestler I ever liked, he put under.
Well, I mean, if I was a wrestling fan, you know, back like in Ultimate Warrior time, I would have liked Ultimate Warrior because that's more my like style of guy. You know, he's more, I don't know. I thought Ultimate Warrior looked kind of cool. All right. So now we're at 224.97, February 24th. The Uncensored match is made. Now, the significance of this here, Sting comes out and Hogan hugs Sting. And it makes it think like he's joined the NWO. This is like the first time like everybody thinks like, okay, he's now with the NWO.
You know, and I was still like, I don't think he's with the NWO.
Yeah, they didn't.
You know, when I did do the turn, I think it was the episode afterwards.
The next episode, Nitro closes with him
playing the music and the shirt in his shoulder. And it's not like he pushed Hogan when he hugged him. You know, he just stood there. So, like, I was like, oh, shit, he is with the NWO.
Yeah, and then Sting comes out with he comes out with the NWO, and you know he's just kind of there in the background, but it's kind of weird while watching that. Then the next week is spring break, and he comes out there, and they're like they're all cutting their promo. Hey, not for nine,
but those spring break shows, Jesus, what the fuck is Tony Khan doing? Like, why do we not have this yet?
Yeah, why do we have Daytona? Daytona.
Those shows look
Ohio.
Amazing. Like even now, those shows look amazing. You want to be my major league? You gotta look better than the competition. Like not a little better. Two to three times better. You gotta be better in every sense of the word to beat the incumbent, to beat the champ. You gotta be the best. Yeah. Not a little better, you know.
Now what I love here is like, Bischoff goes. We forgot to give him his colors, man. We forgot to give him his colors. The shirt. They put the shirt over his back. He just like stands there like a corpse. So
it's the eyes, man.
It was so great. Now, here we go. Now we come to like the best moment. We finally get this 3/16/97 is when this happens. How funny is that? 3/16. I was looking at that. I was like, oh, wow. So the NWO wins. They win the WCW, you know, battle thing. This is in Charleston, South Carolina. We're talking Uncensored. And then what happens? We hear fireworks. Sting drops down. right in the middle of the ring, and the crowd is going nuts. And then Scott Hall comes out and does, you know, he comes in and he's like, he's going to attack him. And when he hits him with the bat, the place just goes.
But you know what? The psychology of the fact that the crowd erupted when that happened
is awesome.
The psychology is one off. They didn't know if he was actually going to do that, because if you think about it, he could have, if he wanted a turn with WCW, wouldn't he have come in before the match?
Yeah, and like win. Yeah.
Yeah. So even right here, you're like, okay, he is with NWO, because he didn't interfere. He didn't do shit. Man, that crowd, that crowd just went insane. And it's different because the crowd then, when they went crazy, it wasn't just that they were loud. You could see them jumping up and down and throwing shit. And you see a waves of hands of people jumping.
Dude, would he like lays them, because this is the first time like anybody's like took out the four, like the this is the main NWO guys, not like, you know.
Wait. Who's the fourth guy?
Well, I guess you say, you know, I mean, well, Hogan comes in later, but like of the three, and then, you know, Macho, the guys that know never get laid out.
Okay, I was about to say, because if you were gonna say X-Pac, I was
No, he's not. No, I'm talking Macho. I'm talking Macho.
I'm like, why the fuck is X-Pac on the 2K22 cover? Like, are you kidding me? It's 2021, and
because X-Pac, that's the only ones there
is on a cover, bro. I'm sorry. Look, I don't care what anybody thinks about Eric Bischoff, but. If you're gonna have X-Pac on there, you might replace him with there. Eric Bischoff.
Exactly.
Like Eric Bischoff. Like, come on, X-Pac, X-Pac, X-Pac.
But anyway, all right. So he when he hits them with the bat, I mean, that place, like, you can see it. They are like just erupting. It is like the biggest pop. Like, it's amazing. Like they were so excited when they saw, and then he death drops all of them. And then Hogan comes in and he finally, and then when he hits Hogan,
you know what I love about that though? There's so much nuance there though. Like when Hogan is like,
put the bat down.
I'll
kill him.
I love when he's like this. He basically does a mic drop, but with the bat. And then he's like,
yeah, he does.
What you gotta do now? Yo, everybody in the hood knows what that means. When you like drop the shit and you're like, okay, let's go.
And then he comes in, and when he hits Hogan, it's an even bigger pop. Because this of course, is the first time anybody's laid out Hogan.
Anybody's done anything to this man outside of Piper a little bit. But like, even then, like this was just different. Like, I mean, he made the whole NWO look bad. It was great.
So here's the thing that was cool. Like, they have the NWO win their match, and they're still, like, killing WCW. But they gave the fans Sting killing them. So it didn't feel like, you know, you're just watching.
No, you got your happy ending for the night.
Yeah.
You got your money's worth. There was nobody complaining about how the NWO beat WCW, because here's a fact. People like the NWO more than WCW. Let's be honest here. The NWO was only really booed whenever Sting was around. If Sting is not around and you just have these other jobbers, everybody's normally cheering for the NWO.
Well, that's a great thing. Like, Sting was like, okay, yeah, I'm fighting to help WCW, but it's like, I'm not WCW.
I'm not really WCW.
I don't give
like,
a shit.
You know, you would get that later on. This is more like a loose affiliation.
Yeah.
This ain't even really us that I'm affiliated with you. I'm just not affiliated with nobody. I don't hate y'all to whoop your ass the way I whoop these guys' asses. So just stay out of my way, and I'll give you a bat here and there.
Dude, watching that moment when he comes down and just, like, that's the.
You know what it is? Here's the thing. So people complain about, oh, man, it's just Roman and Brock. And here's the thing, though. If you show me a great era of wrestling, I will show you one or two guys that completely dominated it. That's just what it is.
But
the problem is when the undercard is so weak that you're not even enticed when the match happens. You're supposed to at least build the undercard to a point where you want to see a match between one of them and the top people. Okay.
Yeah, nobody wants to see the Roman versus Rey.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
You know what? If you had a Sting, that's fine. But you don't even have a Sting. Because let's be honest, the WCW roster was as great as it was. The fact is, nobody was truly over as a babyface except for Sting.
Yeah.
But that was fine because at least you had Sting. You had your top babyface.
But they were smart enough. I think, you know, today's WWE, they would have killed Sting too. And then there would be like, oh, there's nobody.
You know what's interesting? What do you think of the fact, like, do you remember those segments where, okay, they end the show on Nitro, Sting goes off, and then they show a commercial of like the old Sting in a suit doing like I don't like that. I'm gonna be honest. I know this is stupid. Maybe I'm being too old school. I don't like that. To me,
I
don't want
that.
Anybody to even remember what Sting looked like before the crow paint.
I know that was the W. That was like a TNA moment of like, hey, here's cool Sting, and now we've got Sting the suit guy,
the loser Sting. Like I don't think you should have done that. I'm not a fan of that.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I hated that. I thought that was so stupid. I was like,
and
that
it's
is
like
so
right after you see him do some cool ass shit, and then you see this guy in a suit. And I'm like, I haven't heard this guy talk in like months. And now the first time I hear him talk is in a fucking commercial.
In a suit.
Come on, man.
That's the problem with the left hand.
WCW shit. Yeah. You got to be thankful that's the only mistake they made for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
That's TNA shit where they would, the fans were chanting, we want wrestling. And they would zoom in on the fans chanting, we want wrestling. And the announcers would be like, well, they want wrestling.
They want wrestling.
I'm like, yeah, it just sucks.
And I got to say another thing during these Sting segments.
Yeah.
And even the NWO segments, like the commentary is so great. Like they're constantly painting the picture of, oh, we're in trouble, we're in peril, we need somebody. We got our losers. We thought we had Piper, he's a loser. We thought we had Lex, he's even a bigger loser. We thought we had Macho Man, he ends up being even a bigger loser. We got nobody. Oh, it's Sting. Finally, we have somebody. You know, like they really, I felt like played on that desperation. They were really good at calling. It's like, man, we really need something. We got nothing.
Our show sucks. Help us. Oh, man. That was so
cool. We get Stone Cold Steve Austin? We need something. Give us anything.
We need somebody. All right, so I think that uncensored moment is just like that. That's one of the crowning achievements that they did, because they built up to that. And when that crowd,
I mean, shit, when he points at Hogan, I think it's one of those pop. Iconic moments. You know,
he's pointing at me. He's pointing.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the, like, when I think of that feud and the whole thing, that's one of the images. And Hogan saying he's pointing at me, like that was like an iconic moment. Everything, like,
the only person he didn't lay out, and probably for legal reasons, is Rodman. He's playing for the Bulls. There's no way he's getting physical.
Another thing. I don't think people really understand how outrageous the whole Dennis Rodman thing is.
He was in the middle
of the playoffs.
This is March.
And not like for like a shitty team. The dynasty of the 90s, the Jordan Bulls.
I could see just Jordan being like,
and this is not like Dennis Rodman, some jobber. He's not Dolph Ziggler. This dude is a legitimate, you know, Hall of Famer. Like, and like I remember a time, like he had a game with Utah, like a regular season game in Utah. This is right before Karl Malone went to WCW. But I think
this is one
of those first instances. They're doing like some stupid wrestling shit in the middle of the court. Like, and I'm like, What the fuck is this shit? I don't want to see this shit in the court. And, you know, and I love wrestling. Yeah. I just don't want to see this shit in the court.
I remember when he missed the practice to go to Nitro. And, dude, that's 98. Bro, but, you know, Eddie hits.
That guy has no shame. There's no shame.
And they don't even have it on the network. It's cut. Like, the moment he shows up, is it open the show? And everybody's like, what the hell is he doing here?
And when Dennis Rodman is saying, like, what, that they're the future and all this shit, like, I got to say, like, I really think they could have done so much more with Dennis Rodman, because I think he got it. He understood it from, like, jump.
Yeah, they like, could have done more.
They definitely could have done more.
But the like, fact they me, got him, like, at that point, when he was, like, at the, you know, at the top of his game, you know, I'm like.
And you know what? Do you think if Dennis Rodman didn't happen, do you think we get Mike Tyson?
No. Dennis Rodman is like the first of that big, huge celebrity coming out. And people forget that.
I feel like when they did Dennis Rodman, I felt like Vince is like, we need something.
Well, remember, Rodman was supposed to be, I know. He was supposed to do the 12.
I know.
And they were going to do it to Tyson. Yeah. John Kigg went to WCW and said, look, you know, we're doing this thing with them. You know, if you want to give us a better. What would they do then? What would they do if they didn't have Tyson?
And you know what?
Just be Austin and Sean.
If they would have done that, who knows what would have happened? Because I'm going to be honest. Like, I feel like the Austin and Tyson thing is really what skyrocketed Austin. Like,
yeah.
I think WrestleMania 13 put him on the course of main event, but I think Austin and Tyson made him go beyond main event. That was when he became a mega star. You know, that was a mega star moment. You know, that's when right after that happened, I remember when they did the let him fight with Shawn Michaels, and then you have Austin next to Shawn Michaels, and I'm like, you know what? I always liked Austin more than Shawn, but now I feel like, why is Shawn even in the ring with Stone Cold at this point? Like, that's how it felt.
Well, that's probably what Shawn was feared. Was like, that's probably why he was difficult to beat. It was like, I'm not even, I don't matter. Remember this, that part, the press conference, and he starts yelling at one of the reporters. He's like, well, you know, you may not respect what we do. You know, he has to make it about himself. He's pissed off. Nobody gives a shit.
It must be how Seth Rollins felt when Becky Lynch became a bigger star than him.
Yeah.
Or Roman when Becky became a bigger star than him. You know, now he's back to being a bigger star, but it's not really because he did anything. It's mainly because Becky just went down so much.
And, like, and Paul was smart. I don't know if you saw this, the interview Paul did. You know, he talked to me. He said, I went to Roman. And I said, look, you've had four WrestleManias. You got to pretend like that's the tryout for what you're going to do with the tribal chief. And I was like, yeah, that's what you need to do. I'll top it. Because what you did, yeah, you might have been like in WWE terms great, but in the rest of the world, nobody cared. Nobody cared.
It's like, look, Roman's matches, they're never bad, but they're kind of boring because they're kind of predictable. And they're not bad, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't care about them. Like, I care about the segments and build, because he does that so well. But I've learned to appreciate what I can get from those people, because the fact is, like, that's the most that I'm gonna get is a good segment on a Friday from Roman. That's the most I'm gonna get. I'm not gonna get a good match. I'm not gonna get a program I care about. I don't care about Brock and Roman. I've seen that 50 times.
Well, Roman also knows he's kind of like Brock. He doesn't wrestle on the regular shows either.
Now he's like Brock.
Yeah, which is smart.
Even then, when he was having the tryout period, he was never like that. Now he's had solidified him.
Yeah, which I like.
Here's the thing. Man, what the fuck happened? Like, you know, watching the Austin show with Becky, I forgot how much more over she was than anybody else in that company. Yeah. Like, over Brock, over Roman, over all those guys for that, and then they just squandered it. Like, do you think Roman right now is in the level, or Brock is in the level that she was in, like, 2018, 2019?
No, nobody is. Nobody's at that level.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, how, like,
I forgot how over she was. I forgot.
Dude, I mean, it's very easy to forget when WWE shows you what they've done with them.
And watching the segments, her promos were so great. Yeah. Jesus, I forgot why I liked her so much.
Yeah, she was cool. She wasn't coming out dressed like a barmaid.
Yeah, but man, I don't know what the fuck they're doing here. Like, I'm not feeling this at all.
It's all
like, I don't know why she can't just go back to being the man and just do it as a heel and get baby face popped for it. Like, act like a heel and get cheered for it.
I think she's worried. I think she got upset about the Ric Flair thing. Remember Ric Flair came on her hard for calling herself the man? I think that probably affected her.
He's on, look. I'm not a big fan of all this shit that Rick's been doing. Like no, you're too old for this shit at this point. Like, you're really trying to, like, I get it. I mean, he obviously got to choose his daughter.
All right,
but,
so,
like, to me, this is beneath him.
All right, so anything else to say
about this?
Not Sting?
Beneath him?
It is beneath him. We'll talk about that in a bit. But what anything else about Sting?
He's the best thing WCW ever produced.
It really is. And with that, I've got to say, the truth
shall
set
you
free.